Chapter 5. Bad News. When Clerval and I returned from our walking holiday, there was a letter from my father waiting for me. "My dear Victor, I know that you will soon be coming home to us and that it should be a wonderful, happy time, but I regret that I have some awful news. There is no easy way to say it. Your dear, sweet brother William has been murdered. Last Thursday, it was a beautiful evening, and Elizabeth, William, and I went for a long walk. On the walk, William was running and hiding in the trees, but then he didn't return. We looked everywhere for him again and again, but we couldn't find him. It was at about 5 a.m. that I found my dear boy dead on the grass. The black marks of the murderer's fingers were around his neck. When Elizabeth saw this, she fell down ill, saying, 'Oh no, I have done this to him. I allowed him to wear the expensive necklace with a picture of his mother on it, and it has gone. The murderer has taken it.' We do not know who the killer is, and I do not want to be full of hate for that person. Please come home to us so that we can be together. Your loving, sad father, Alphonse Frankenstein." The very next day, I started the long journey back to my home city of Geneva, where I had not been for nearly 6 years. I was full of sadness during the journey, but there was also some happiness because I was going home. It was dark by the time I got down from the carriage and started to walk the last few miles to our house. As I walked, the weather changed, and a loud thunderstorm came. I watched the lightning coming down from the dark sky to the hills, and I felt the rain on my skin. The weather seemed right for my arrival, and right for the terrible thoughts that were in my mind about William's death. Then, moments later, the shape of a huge person came out of the darkness. A sudden flash of lightning lit the sky, and I saw the face. It was the face of the monster. But why was he here? Could he be the murderer of my brother? I felt sure that he was. Then, as quickly as he had appeared, he was gone again. With the next flash of light, I could see that he was quite far away, and he was beginning to climb up the nearest mountain. I was terribly shocked. The rain stopped, and I spent the rest of the night outside. I was cold and wet, but I did not care. I was full of regret, and all I could think about was my awful creation. What had I done? This dangerous monster had gone out into the world and killed someone. When it got light, I went on walking and arrived at the house early in the morning. Oh, how happy and yet sad I was to see my father. After talking for a few moments, he told me the latest news. "The murderer has now been discovered." I did not understand, because I had just seen the monster running free. "But who is it?" I asked. I saw sadness in my father's face as he spoke. "It's Justine." "Justine?" I cried. "How can that be true?" "I'm afraid it is." "No," I replied, "you are wrong. It can't be Justine. She is guilty. It must be her. She was out all night when it happened, and then we found the necklace that William had around his neck in her pocket. Justine was in real danger, but what could I do? I knew no one would believe the story of how I created the monster. They would surely think I was mad, so I said nothing more. 3 days later, Justine was hanged. That kind, beautiful young woman was dead. Oh, I was very upset. We were all terribly sad. In the weeks that followed, I could not sleep. Two good, sweet young people had died, and it was all because of me and what I had done. I regretted everything that had happened, and I felt sick and depressed. I was also terrified because I knew that the monster might still be near us. When August came, and 2 months had passed since Justine's death, I decided to go out walking for a few weeks in the mountains. I hoped that it would make me feel better. As I walked further and climbed higher up the mountains, I felt lighter and freer. I saw Mont Blanc in front of me, and the blue skies and green valleys gave me some hope again. One morning, I was alone and high up in the snowy mountains when it started to rain. The sky was dark, but I continued on my way and reached the top of Montanvert at around noon. I sat on a rock and looked down over a large flat area of ice below me. After I had rested there for a while, I started to move across the area of ice. It was a little foggy now, so I moved slowly and carefully as I came down the side of the mountain. Then, as the fog began to lift, I suddenly saw something on the other side of the snow and ice that was moving very quickly towards me. I saw that it was a man, and he was jumping easily over the rocks and big holes in the ice. I had a horrible shock when I realized that it was the creature. I felt very frightened, but I also felt very angry. This monster had killed my dear William and Justine. I decided that I would fight him, and I waited for him to get near me. "How can you come near me?" I shouted. "Aren't you scared that I will kill you after what you have done?" "I know that I am ugly and different, and most people hate me," he replied. "But you are the person who made me, and you talk about killing me. You, my creator, should give me what I need. If you do, then I will go away and live in peace. But if you refuse, then I will not disappear. I will continue to kill people." "You monster! Yes, I created you so I can kill you too," I cried, and I ran at him, but he easily jumped away from me. "You made me bigger and stronger than you, but I don't want to fight you," he told me. "Although you seem to hate me, I will not hate you. I was good and pure, but being alone and being hated has made me unhappy and dangerous. Give me what I need, and then I can be happy and safe again." "Go away or fight me," I shouted. Now he spoke quietly. "Please be calm. You tell me I am bad because I've killed, but you now say you want to kill me. What's the difference? Please just listen to my story. That's all I ask. Come to the cave where I have been living these months and hear me. Then, if you still want to kill me, do it. I shall not stop you. As he said this, he started to walk across the ice, and I followed him. I did not answer him, but as we walked, I thought about what he had said. I realized that he could be right. I was his creator, and perhaps I should think about his happiness before being quick to attack him. So I decided to do as he had asked. It was with great sadness that I followed him inside the cave and then sat down next to the fire that he had lit. It was then that he started to tell me his story.